Because somebody okay. used to say, welcome.
Oh, welcome to This Week Linux User Group. Today is Thursday, October 9th.
Was this like the second official start of the program?
This is the official start of the program.
You wanted theme music.
Oh, there's the theme music. Da da.
We do need a little music at the beginning of the game, don't we?
Yes. Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Friendly.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a long cruise.
We just started. So who wants to start 2 minutes of fame before we start talking about the Ohio Linux Fest?
Sure.
Sure.
I just bought a color laser printer.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, you bought that one?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know it. Just now?
Yeah, just about
a minute before we left the house.
45 minutes ago or so.
Oh, okay.
So you already have it at home?
Oh yeah, I got the super express shipping.
Only available in Flair.
Yeah. Actually, I downloaded it. They had a direct download.
Hey, lucky man.
First got one of those random buildings as well.
Is that new one?
You just mix two things together and you have to download it. It's just not
protocol.
Flair 8 or something.
Well, so it looked pretty good. It was only $300. It does duplexing.
Who makes it?
Color laser printer, brother.
Oh, bro.
It's got wireless, so...
How much are retro cartridges?
About the same price as the printer.
So don't print.
Well, the initial... It actually comes out to be about 7 to 8 cents, so it's not that bad. It's
for a full color page?
For a full color page.
Wow, that's not bad, really.
So next year we will print your house?
Sure, for 8 cents a page.
The Freedom Day.
Okay, I'll ask my work. Cool. Anything else?
Not really. Gary made that circuit board for me that I designed in that software package, Eagle.
Nice.
So it looks pretty nice. For those who haven't seen it, fancy, isn't it?
Fancy.
It's etched.
No, it's etched. Yeah, you start off with an all copper board, and then you put on a chemical that dissolves when sunlight hits it. You put it under a lamp, and you have a transparency there, and it
then rinse it
up with that. Looks pretty good. So
very nice.
Right hopefully, now. I can start a couple fires with this.
Not burned out my
as, traces. As long as it's outside of your house, I think it's okay.
Yeah, other than that, that's about it.
That's about it.
Yep.
Cool. How about Mr. Ron?
Not a whole lot. Still waiting to hear back on the job situation, but I should know by tomorrow, so.
I thought you already had a job.
Apparently.
Another job?
She has a temporary job.
Oh, you have a temporary job. Oh, okay. Oh, I hope that it'll go well.
It should.
If not, then I'll hire you. I don't have anything. No, Gary will hire you. You can be drawing blood for me.
Yeah, there you go.
How about the blood sausages?
Let's keep on moving.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
He's dreaming about blood sausages.
Any plans for the weekend?
Going dress shopping.
Ooh.
That's what boys say. They don't understand.
That's what all guys want to go every day. Dress shopping.
You know, y'all going to be there. Yep. Cool. Great.
Myself, I am moving to Baldwin because my fiance took a job in. Just this side of the city, so we'll be driving back and forth, which means I gotta trade my truck in, unfortunately, because it costs too much to drive. I'm gonna be getting a nice car.
But the price of the gas is going down right now.
Yeah, so every mile you drive, you're saving, no?
Yes, so you should be driving a lot.
I better put some bigger wheels on my truck. and that, we kind of I went to the Bluetooth machines at the stores, so we're going to try to sell those no more. Just bought some of those Shuttle X27 Atom based computers. They're like that big.
Yes. Do people buy them?
I don't know. We just
out of the time.
Hopefully, that's the plan. Cool. So we're going to put Bluetooth on everything. And
because I thought there was a foresight on that. On the box.
What's that?
Is it coming with the operating system?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, because I thought that they're selling Linux on it, but it was foresight.
I don't know. We just bought the bare bones.
Okay.
So, they'll go and
supplement.
Put what we want on there. That's about it.
What do you sell it for?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Right, hey, don't sell any NDAs to me, please.
Anyway?
Don't tell me any NDAs.
Yeah.
What's an NDA?
Non-disclosure agreement.
It means you can tell them, but you can't say anything about it.
No. Oh. Yeah. I can tell you, but I have to kill
you. Oh, I'll skip on that.
No. I don't know. We haven't calculated everything out yet. But hopefully, they'll be cheap enough.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Did that person got the duplicator? Got his money?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, he stopped down and grabbed it from us. So.
He did a pretty nice job with those things. Very nice. So
I got rid of all the mad stores.
Yeah, I tooted his horn, how good he was, and he was happy too. So it was probably mutual happiness.
Yep, hopefully I'll do it for a discount next year.
Yep. Cool. And we have a new guy here.
Yeah, Carlos. Just adding what Todd said, we just got those little shuttle computers. In order to keep pushing Ubuntu Linux, we got a 42 inches LCD, so we can actually just don't tell people that it's easy, just we can actually show it to people and probably have them play with it for a little bit. So they can realize that it's not hard to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Very nice.
Good.
I saw that you guys have the flyer on your store called Linux User Group.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people stop by and read about it.
Yeah, some people actually ask. Sometimes they stop and you try to tell them, oh, use Ubuntu is better. Or something like that, but they don't know how to use it. Oh, I always refer, well, there's a group and you can go there. You don't really need to know much about it. They will teach you there.
Would you guys like to have some flyers in your store as you could give it away?
Yes. And you know, I refer a lot of people today. I refer a lot of people today. I'm giving some classes at Globe University.
Mm-hmm.
So today was a lecture of open source. Operating system. I showed them the whole class Ubuntu, how to use Ubuntu.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty much the whole class didn't know about Ubuntu. So yeah, now they know how to install that. It's how to run it live.
When you guys are doing this stuff, actually, there is Canonical who is sponsoring Ubuntu. They actually have a course. There is an introduction for people who really don't know anything about Ubuntu. It's actually a PDF file. Would you guys be interested in that?
Yeah, well, I can send it over. I can put it on the computer images. And
yes, it is as a
how to get up and going.
Yes, how to get up and going. How to know your system.
Really? I'd be interested. Where have we seen that before or not?
It used to be on a web, but I think the images is broken right now, so I have a copy on my computer.
Oh, okay.
It's fairly large. It's like 60 meg.
Egg?
Yes, it's quite large.
Oh, it costs a whole book.
Excuse me?
Lots of pictures, I heard?
Yes. It is about 250 pages. It's as a book, it has 7 chapters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might as well.
So it's like how to use Ubuntu all around then.
How to know your computer, where you have your stuff, which applications you would use for, how do they work, and how you update your computer, how you maintain your computer. You know, fairly easy. For regular people.
I have a question. I should know by now this, but I think it just came up to my head now. Is there a Spanish installation of Ubuntu.
Yes.
Yeah, when you insert the disk, it tells you choose the language. Choose the language for the installation process, or choose the language for the whole package.
I think it's for the whole thing.
Yeah, it's that's the default. Okay.
Yes.
So then, when you, as long as you're downloading installation packages that include Spanish locale, it'll automatically install the Spanish files.
And all what it is just there are some supporting files. So I don't know how to do that, but I think that you should be able to install additional locales or languages on your installation already. You would have to look around how to do it, but those are just additional files, and then all what you do, you just switch to different locale.
Hmm. Yeah.
Good. We get about 30% Spanish-speaking customers at our store.
Cool.
That high, huh?
Yeah, somewhere in there, wouldn't say.
It is because you guys are by post office.
Actually, it's not good for us to be down here because they can't find their way around
yes.
downtown.
Oh.
Most of them are from, you know, Arcadia area or something like that.
Okay.
Cool. We get quite a few.
Cool. Thank you. How about you, Elliot?
I've actually been playing around with some Mac ports.
Mac ports?
The Mac ports project is porting Linux utilities to Mac.
Okay.
Or, I think it's very much just identical utilities. But I was trying out some network modules. A utility that you can plug into any switch. You can plug it into a wall drop as long as you have Cisco products. It'll read Cisco Discovery Protocol packets over that line, tell you what the name of the switch is and what port on the switch you're plugged into. So trace lines back for connectivity issues and stuff like that. And just some other things that work with SNMP, rural administration type of utilities. There was some interesting stuff. I wonder. It was open source, but it wasn't really Linux based. It was more just it's the same kind of stuff. But I think it's the same packages.
Cool.
Same Linux.
Is that Open Solaris working for you?
Yeah, I haven't played around with it much, but it's working. I don't know. I got it up and running. Played around with it a little bit. It's kind of slow on the original machine.
Did you like it or?
Yeah, I mean it seems about the same.
Is it a gnome like any other gnome?
Like any other gnome.
Yes.
You know, it's the same packages installed. The only real benefits that, as far as I understand, the real benefits with Solaris are the file system, which
ZFS
is. I think it handles. Who was telling me about ZFS?
I was glad to
be
a little like
I just don't know how to like concurrent access like database type stuff, right? It handles that better.
There was somebody I knew was hearing it like third hand from me. Someone was talking about being able to make what they call it, containers and making multiple machines and
set of software. Also like if you're running an application on the server, it can't rush data. That's not part of its own container.
Yep.
Probably looks something like a CH loop.
Yep. Cool. Anything else?
No, I think that'll do.
See, I didn't bring you more beer. I should have.
Yeah, I should have. I have some a couple bottles for you.
Cool.
I'll
take them.
What about your beer? Did that turn out good?
Yeah. Well, probably on Monday I'm going to bottle again, so it's going to be third batch.
You already drank some of those? Pretty good.
And I'm still alive, so it should be okay.
It's actually really tasty.
Is it?
I don't
know.
Yeah.
Does it taste like any particular kind of beer?
It has a much more taste than any particular kind of beer.
It did have
a taste. It looks like a beer.
Somewhat similar to Newcastle, maybe.
Ooh, Newcastle, I love it.
Yeah.
What is so great about, you know, homebrewing that you can make any kind of beer you want, you know? And I mean, the bad part about it that you have to wait, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks you know, by the time it's done.
But you get pretty thirsty.
Well, you shouldn't dehydrate, you know.
There's water in between.
Yeah. Oh, there's a saying, relax, don't worry, have a home brew. And if you don't have a home brew, have a commercial brew.
Okay.
So.
You could stagger them.
Yes, exactly. That's why you have to brew every 2 weeks. And if it's not enough, then you need to buy more fermenters.
Yes. Start a new brew every day, and then you'll...
That might be a little excessive.
I've already voiced the concern that I'm already drinking more beer to get you bottles to put your beer in. It seems like a really dangerous cycle. So.
Slippery slope. How do you call it? It's the machine which is going on its own with energy on its own. How do you call
perpetual
that?
Perpetual motion.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There's nothing perpetual about it.
It just goes down and you have empty bottle and I'll refill it.
No, it won't go forever. Eventually it'll stop.
When?
One way or the other, it'll stop.
You mean when we run out of hops or?
Yeah, one way or the other, it will stop.
Okay, well, you guys are a lot of fun. How about you guys?
We've been doing Dutch House, and it was crazy last week, so I pulled off all the rest of the cucumbers.
So we have cucumber.
Yes. Help yourself to cucumbers.
Yes. I'll have one. Sure. I like those.
Take a couple.
All right. I'll get one of those.
It's been a bad 2 weeks for Linux.
Yeah, I didn't see you guys last week.
No, really. Well, we're running out of time to finish some of the projects with the garden and the duck house, so you know, it's not going to stay in the 60s and 70s for very much longer. So
that's right.
We're trying to have a lot of hammer down and that stuff. So.
Well, you just have to, you know.
I'll take a couple.
Oh, yeah, well, you either pass it around or take them on the way out.
Yeah. I guess I vote on the way out. You don't have to be playing with your cucumbers. Might not be appropriate here. So Doug's that taken care of?
Well, not quite. We're getting close. It's really coming out well.
I thought you guys were already closed like a month ago.
Well, the building is finished.
Oh, yeah,
the run turned out to be...
Could I use it for cooling a beer? For lagering?
Probably not.
Oh, darn.
I think our deck would be more appropriate for that, really. It'd probably, be a little warm.
It's too warm.
Oh, then that's not good.
No.
You guys should address that issue.
You should find yourself a cave somewhere.
Yes, cave.
Put your eggs in the cave.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, I didn't do a lot of with the Linux. I guess, I don't know. I didn't do too much.
Planned a trip to Ohio.
Planned a trip as we wouldn't get lost. I told everybody that everybody needs to register and didn't register yet.
Somebody didn't register. I think it was you.
I didn't register yet.
You can't. Why not? It's today at 5.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. I do have a count there, but I just didn't register yet.
Uh-oh.
So you guys will have to feed me then.
Bring the webcam and he can sit in the car and watch it on his phone.
I know I was watching that, like two people from Eau Claire.
Why didn't you register me?
I didn't know your login.
You're supposed to register yourself.
You're the one who told us to register.
I know. Me bad.
Sure, emergency days.
54703?
Yeah.
There you go. You're on there. They actually have a map that shows where everybody is.
Are you sure it's closed? I wanted to register tonight.
Yeah, 5:00 today. That's what it said on their site.
Well, why is your ring so long?
I don't know.
What is this for?
Ohio Linux.
I was just printing too many maps. I just didn't want to get lost. I printed whatever they are doing. You know.
I don't know. I'm already registered, so it doesn't.
You can go in.
No, that's what I thought it said on the main site, right?
I don't know. Hang on. Anyway. Let me click on there.
While we sort this out.
Okay, let's look.
I swear it said it on there. I was looking at it that morning.
Last chance to register. Ohio Linux Fest registration will close on Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time? Korean
scroll,
time?
Scroll, scroll. You're like four things out. There you go.
Oh.
Please log in.
Log in right now and see if they still
have it. Oh, yeah, as you could see me. That's good.
Maybe yeah, that's why I didn't register. I didn't want it. Nobody would see.
You could have gave him a bogus zip code.
Credit card?
What do you worry about people seeing you for?
He's not in Eau Claire, of course.
I wanted to pay $65 or whatever it was. And I was at work and I
$65 to go wander around, or does that include your room?
It includes your food and drink.
And oh, no, that's honestly too bad.
And t-shirt. And we'll be selling out to the t-shirt to you for about $80.
Yeah, maybe. Hard breast to get a sale out of that.
Okay, well, we might slash it down to $75.
Professional package there for $350.
You would get the LPI.
One day.
Yes.
Violin.
You have too many lunches over there, so that's why it's so.
Cool.
Well, that was about me. See, maybe I should actually write it down what I'm doing, if I could say.
Yeah.
How about you? Do you remember what we were doing?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I haven't done very much. But I got a question, of course.
Yes. Do you know how to weld?
Now, why?
Why does that question come up every week?
I may have asked this before, but I'm putting this computer together for the neighbors who just want to go on the internet and just want to do email. Would you use Ubuntu or would you use one of those simpler ones with the little icons at the bottom?
Let's say like GOS.
Yeah, is that simpler and more bulletproof or not?
You can put icons on a desktop here too if that's what you care about. So you take this guy, you just double click on it, and you drop it on this.
Well, no, yeah, I know, I realize that.
Yeah. So if that's what you want, the icons on the bottom, well, I'll drag it here on the bottom and get the icon on the bottom.
But you remember that big nice bar across the bottom?
I know.
You can't do that in Ubuntu? Huh?
You can get the dock.
You can get the dock there too. I think Ubuntu is a good choice, and if they want to have a dock, you can install dock.
I say install whatever you're comfortable with, because you're probably going to be doing the tech support on it.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking.
So get Fedora.
I have no idea how Fedora looks like. Probably looks
it's
like
big,
a hat.
It's big. Yes, just the hat.
Possibly, yes.
So.
Okay, and then that's it. I didn't do much.
That wasn't too much.
No.
Did you practice your welding?
No, I didn't know. My welding is fine. So wherever you go, two bolts together, bring them over, and we'll get them stuck.
No two bolts. There's more than just the three or four. Cool. That's very reassuring.
All right, good.
I showed you what I want to weld.
You did?
But apparently you weren't paying attention.
I'm paying attention, or what was it?
It was some kind of structure.
Did you tell me?
It was like a shelf for supporting pops. Not right now.
All right.
I'm way far away from that.
Okay.
So just keep on practicing.
Well, we got to keep on track and talking about beer, right? Yeah. Instead of welding.
Yeah. Well, you do welding first and then you get beer.
All right.
You know, give me an empty box.
All right, Eric, what'd you do?
I can't talk about what I did because I was on the dark side.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get
punched again. That's just to bypass me. Oh, okay. You really don't want to know what I did in California for Unleashers.
Oh. Did you enjoy yourself?
It was all right.
It was all right?
Did you learn a lot or not?
Yeah.
You did?
Not a lot.
Learned a lot. The dark side is becoming more and more like our side.
What does that mean?
Almost every snazzy little feature they tried to show us on Vista was relatable to something that existed already in Linux or Mac. But there are a few things that Linux needs to work on in comparison. You know, Linux is really good for an end user. It's harder for a business to do business-wide security. It's not as straightforward. But otherwise,
I don't know about that.
Lots of enterprise service.
A person wouldn't give you a nickel for Windows security.
Wow.
It's
It's gotten better.
It's best that I don't talk right now. I just did come back from a week of brainwashing, so.
Do they do some of that, or is it more just education? Or is it more like...
Oh, no, it's not a it's like not a Microsoft course. It's just the guy's there to teach you the certification, teach you what you need to know. It was a good course. I mean, you know, it was up to 60 hours that week that we could have spent training for the two tests.
Did you take the test? You did okay?
All right.
Good. That's cool. Make you feel good.
Yeah, it makes me feel better about having the company pay to send me to California.
Yeah, instead of failing, then going, well.
Getting back and going, well,
for too much time drinking,
hold all your money.
How would you ever feel bad about that?
Yeah, they expect you to do something for you. Know, they send you there and you pay all your bills. And
so did you see a seal at a fisher, what is it, fisherman wharf?
No, you know, I went down to the ocean, but the ocean is cold. Mm-hmm. And it was cold that day, it was overcast, so. I didn't spend too. I drove down to Santa Cruz. I didn't go down to sink down to Santa Cruz.
So you went to see Santa Cruz Operation Company.
The hell's that?
SCO.
Ugh. Oh. No, but okay. The one cool thing about that was I was in San Jose. So my driving directions were. Okay, take a left at Yahoo. go past Intel. If you see the AMD building, you've gone too far, and don't hit NVIDIA. You know, this goes over
you're
there.
That close out there?
Yeah. Everything is within literally just a couple little mile area. You have the entire tech industry. Citrix, AMD, Intel, NVIDIA. Who else did I see? Yahoo.
Wow.
I see Google. I don't know where Google is.
Google's got like a giant.
Yeah, they have a...
Are they out there too, though? Google
they're in that area.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just like in the building we were having our training at. You know, every day was just different tech seminars that would come through. I mean, just everything was in that building. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that part was kind of cool. I didn't have much time to go around and do any sightseeing except for Sunday. That and I got a little sports car to bum around it. And so I was happy.
Sports car. Everybody has a sports car when they go.
Go to California, that's a good one, all sports car.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's it.
Alright, oh, that's pretty cool.
Great. How about you guys? You need to shout because we need to have it on microphone.
Not much over here. I tried desktop Linux again for the first time in a while, and it ended in massive hardware driver failure. 3D acceleration has never worked for me, and HDMI was quite interesting in the way Linux handles it, because it never got it right, and it got it wrong in so many different ways, different times. So it was more amusing than anything else. Other than that, I ordered a laptop, which I'll hopefully use Linux on, but I haven't gotten it for tomorrow.
Where did you order it from?
The private auction kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
It was just a cheap laptop.
Okay.
Something.
Cool.
That's it for me.
That's good. Welcome here.
Thank you. Bought a new laptop.
Nice.
For the event here. And
wow.
We have Windows on it, 24 hours after I got it. And put Ubuntu on it, fully 3D acceleration works on it. And just playing now with Unet booting and trying to get the SD card to boot.
What does it work?
Everything out of the box.
Cool.
Everything was, it's got the, it's full Intel. It's one of the things I fought for when I searched for it.
Great.
What model and brand?
It's a HP DB 2915 NR. It's an X3100 graphics, Intel wireless. Everything works. If that one ended up working in when full compass is running, it's the video playback. But everything else works fine. That's it for me.
Cool. Oh, Mr. Adam.
I can't talk about the things that I've got done this week.
Oh, okay. So we are done there.
I've been ordered to silence last
Who ordered you to sign?
You did.
I did. Don't remember.
I've been playing with a few things, and someone claimed them for the newsletter and told me they're not.
That's what it is. Because you, you always spill the beans. That's all what it is.
Yeah, well, other than that, the only thing I've really been doing is playing with how to configure the Eureka backup at the end of the newsletter. It's pretty simple to get started with, but there's some more advanced, maybe something to do with automating it. You know, like to set up your backups. And that's about it, though.
Cool. Cool. So, what else are we going to talk about?
Well, I got those BitTorrents working. That's pretty cool.
Do you remember you are recording right now?
Yeah, I was downloading files from my friends.
You know? Oh, yeah, just the Linux ISO files. I know.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. And that's why your neighbor wants to have the Ubuntu computer.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. Good man, Charlie Brown. Good, good, good.
Yeah. All right.
I was talking to... Boy. What is his name?
Well, what does he look like?
Ben.
Oh, Ben.
I was talking to Ben that we will be probably looking for a different place. So we will be probably moving from here. And one place was Dooley's, which is possible.
Where's that? Dooley's?
That's on Water Street. Uh-huh. That's where old camaraderie used
right.
to be.
Oh, right, right.
They have a back room. They have projector. I was there once, I don't know, a year ago. And the thing was that, well, I didn't spend a lot of time there, but I didn't see a VGA port on the projector. But maybe they have it, I just, you know, didn't spend a lot of time.
Yeah, we got cables that go from VGA to RCA, so.
Yeah, it, I saw the regular three-prong, you know, like projector. Mm-hmm. So
I think I got one of those cables later on. It's like four RCA things.
I think that was three.
Like every
but there's actually two different types.
I think mine had the ones where you turn them in and you push them in and twist them. They're like the locking ones.
No, that's actually a different type.
Yeah. Oh, it is. PMCs, that's what they were.
Yeah.
They sometimes put the RCA plugs on them. They sometimes put the normal plugs. They're the same signal, but one of them, the sync, is merged with the green channel, and the other type, the sync, is not merged.
And that's when it has four wires?
The thing is, what's coming out of your VGA port does not have the sync merged with the green, but virtually everything else uses the sync with the green. So unless you have a projector that explicitly takes that signal, they might not match up properly.
This doesn't even have that option, does it? This is S video.
Actually, it might. Because
here's
actually, that's that input has the RGB and the sync wire. So you can get an adapter that goes directly from that to those four wires.
Ah. Well, let's not worry about that until we know the details,
yes.
Huh?
Yes. So
something will work.
Yeah.
So if somebody else has any other suggestion for meeting place, where
is that what somebody called the Irish place?
I think it is the Irish pub right now. So if they serve beer and some drinks, you know, I'd like to, you know, we probably could go to a school or library, but they don't sell.
You know, that camaraderie, that burned down, didn't
yes.
it?
Oh, yeah.
And then they rebuilt it?
Yes.
It's quite different than it used to be.
Yeah, I remember it used to be kind of an old rickety building. Yes.
Mm-hmm. If they don't have John Wayne there anymore. He already left.
He did, okay.
Yeah. So we got set to go there.
The only thing I'd wonder about is Thursday nights during sporting season.
Well, maybe we'll have to meet on Wednesday or, you know, Tuesday or Friday.
Well, if you're or Monday. If you're in the back room.
Yeah.
Well, that's our only day. Their feet, you know,
football night.
Maybe they'll watch games in the bar, too. Yeah, maybe they'll eat at the bar.
Did you talk to them, or are you just...
I didn't talk right now to them, but...
How do they rent? Do they rent it, or do they just assume you're going to buy beer, or what?
You do not have to pay any money for that room. So what you need to do, you need to put yourself... You need to reserve it. We need to reserve it, so you reserve it once a week.
Okay.
A certain
so they're just hoping they'll sell you some beer.
Most likely. Yes. Okay. So no, like no, no brown bag.
How far can you reserve it? In
excuse
advance?
Me.
How far can you reserve it in advance?
You say that we are going to be there every weekend.
Okay,
every week,
that works.
And probably
sometimes it's like a first come, first serve. We only reserve 1 week in advance, and if somebody else jumps in there, too bad.
Closed up.
Well, then probably
I think
you
need to find out.
And you know, hey,
what's the deal?
Secure it.
Okay.
That was fun, though.
So if somebody knows about some other place, you know.
Well, if we get bumped out of here, I got another bar we can go to. We won't get much Linux done, but it's a new place.
Shooters?
Is this a townie bar?
No, that's my secret. We'll see. If we ever get bumped, we'll
have one all there.
Yeah, kind of red is in the face right now.
Let's see. I like the chitty.
I see. Probably we shouldn't elaborate on the topic right now, should we?
Not right now.
Okay. So let's better not be kicked off. Okay. Let's find a steady place. How about that? Cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I think it's okay. I mean, I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about it. I think I'm more concerned about, like, what Byron was bringing up, whether it'll be dependably regular.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think I'd look into.
And I think that, you know, if you talk to owner, or if I talk to owner and say, you know, we meet every week and it's on, you know, it's scheduled, so he, you know,
yeah.
Sure. Cool.
So when are we not welcome here anymore?
No, we are always welcome here.
Oh, okay.
It's you know, this place has been very nice to us, very good to us.
Yeah, I know that, but
for,
it sounds like
for
moving.
2 years, and they are not really moving, they're changing ownership, and you know, we don't know exactly what is the intention of the owner, new ownership, so.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, now we better rehash the way we're going to get down to the Ohio Fest, don't you think?
Yeah.
Follow the pipeline. Line?
That's Yellow Brick Road.
Okay.
Wow.
We'll talk about that after.
Purple.
Yeah, we'll talk,
yeah,
about,
we'll
that
after.
Talk about that after.
About what?
We'll talk about how we're getting to Ohio later.
Since
over
people aren't
70%
of the people here don't.
Well, they might be just excited about that. So who's
I don't see anyone taking, like, waving their hands and like,
does anybody else
clapping
or
anything?
We're gonna get there.
No. See, I've got a personal moratorium on road trips for at least 3 years.
Well, you know, you
right,
gave
so
us.
He counts twice on the other side.
He gave us all the gear. We have the power converter. We
That's
have GPS.
He doesn't want it anymore.
We have GPS charger. We have the only thing what he didn't give us was the espresso machine.
Gas money.
Oh, gas
yeah.
money.
Hey.
You don't want to chase the garbage.
I brought
the order.
Well, when I was in college, we loaded up 2 cases of beer and hit the road. We didn't have all this other garbage. It was easy then.
That's what I'm going for.
I'm telling you. No, that's why I have a backup and I printed the paper copy.
See, where's your sense of
adventure?
That's true, you know?
Yeah. How big is that for me?
Make our own
fermenter? 5 gallons.
So we could fit that in the back and bring it, and we could, like, set up a booth.
Sort of.
You know, the booths are only, like, $75.
Is it?
Yeah. You wouldn't know because you didn't register.
Oh.
That was very, yes, true. But, you know, I'll sneak in.
So who is going on this expedition? You? You two?
Yep.
And
Prado.
Okay.
Well, really, you know, we wanted it you go because you can weld if our car would break down.
I also grabbed my car, too.
Yeah,
because
we
go for free.
Yeah, no gas money.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would just attract too many inner city people who want to go. It's
the munchies, they want to hit the fries.
That's right.
McDonald's.
Cool. Newsletter.
What about newsletter?
Wow, we're on the ball tonight.
Well, I'm getting tired.
This is
going to
be one of our better shows.
It's only 8:05.
8:05?
Oh, 2 minutes of fame.
Hey, somebody called me.
What'd they call you?
Yeah, hey, we are here.
How do you call somebody on that?
Well, because you say somebody's not here. Okay, and here's somebody else. Somebody's supposed to say hi to me.
Yes.
Oh, okay, you are talking to the... So, let's go back.
Get the
fuck out. Oh, you know what? You know, when I was printing the maps,
yeah.
There was I was in Ohio, and they have ads there, and one of them was... divorce in Ohio fast.
Divorce in what? Ohio what?
Fast.
Oh.
But I didn't click on it.
Are you having a little marital trouble? Is that what you're getting at?
I was suggesting something.
I don't know.
Is he in Ohio?
I don't know. But he can weld, so okay. That's good. So what do we have here? There was Linux 7.17. Con drink.
You didn't set up your resolution right. We can't read that.
It's okay. You guys don't need to read.
All right.
There we go.
That's fine. That'll
work. Better?
Good enough.
Wow. Get a better glasses. Did somebody read about that?
Well, I just read the highlights there.
So tell us.
Just that it's turning 17, that's all I read.
Oh, okay. Well, calm
down. I never, they got that at Minix 1.1. I never even heard of that.
Don't install it.
Does it even exist anymore?
Oh, yeah, Minix is still there. It's, I think, 2 something now.
Just like a 2.
Yeah. It's pretty basic, but you can do things with it that are quite interesting. I
mean, is it like a DOS or like the shell more like?
No, they actually, there's a Minix X version now.
Oh, there is, okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't try.
No, I'm not.
Linux is a microkernel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a microkernel, and it's, it's very Unix-like. I mean, you really wouldn't know the difference. I mean, some of the command arguments are different for commands and things like that. But if you know Linux, you can use Minix. Actually, installation disks for some of the early distributions of Linux booted off a Minix kernel for the installation disk. So
I guess we are done with this 17 and still pondering. Okay. There was another article about Picasa 3 for Linux. Picasa 3 was for Windows for some time. And this is beta, like anything from Google. I actually installed it. I think it's fine. You know, they're saying that it can read raw, but I thought it could read raw before. That it has a facial recognition, which you know, how many people I have there, so you can recognize 4 faces.
I've had that for 26 years.
And if I cannot do it, you know, I'm done. What else was there?
Did they take out that part of their license and said anything that you put on here is ours forever?
I don't know. I didn't read that.
This is scarier and scarier. Like, they're recognizing the people out of the pictures you take, and pretty soon they're going to be able to, like, link that to the
Big Brother, 1984.
They're doing it with video now, too, I guess. They're getting where you can, it'll do the recognition of the video.
I can say one more thing about Linux. There's several versions of Linux available as virtual machines. If anybody really is interested in it, you just go to their Linux. There's 2 main websites. There's like 2 different people doing maintaining it. Mm-hmm. And there's a different version, but there's several. There's several virtual machine versions and, you know, live CD versions if you want to fool around with it.
Hey, they're up to version 3.
Oh, yeah, I guess it could be 3. Right.
3.5. No, that's no.
M-I-N-I-X.
Linux, M-I-N-U-X, that's a distribution of a Linux type.
See? 3.
Minix, yeah. That's right, it was 3.0. Yeah.
You can have a screenshot even.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah!
I like the blue.
Yeah, the interesting, I think the thing is, there's a book about how to develop an operating system, and actually I think if Torvalds hadn't known Minix, I don't know that he could have done Linux. So, I mean,
that's where he started from.
That's really true. Yeah. And it's also the nature of that microkernel thing, I don't really understand, but what I've heard is that if you're interested in learning how to write a device driver, that's a good place to start because somehow the microkernel makes that easier to do.
Well, with a microkernel, it's kind of the same idea as a module, except for your module actually runs in the user space. So it's like your driver is just a program that you compile, mm-hmm. and then you just run it just like you would a program.
Yeah. So that is true. What it said, if you want to learn device driver writing, this is a way, it's a kind of a place in that you can take.
Yeah. Why did he start writing his own kernel? Was it because of Minix license and he couldn't extend it?
No, I think he just wanted it. I think he did it as a project for a course, isn't that what I heard?
It was his thesis, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all that, but I mean, what I remember hearing was that he'd written it as a project for a course in his company. He started.
And Linux is not a microkernel.
No.
Linux is the exact opposite end of the spectrum. That's
what was there in 91? Was there just Windows? Or, I mean, Mac? Like, was there
a limited version of Windows?
Was 3.1 over there or not?
No.
Windows 2, maybe.
Yeah, it was either like 1 or 2, maybe. I think there was like a 3.0, which was...
There was a 3.0, yeah.
Windows 3.6.
3.1 was a major...
Yeah, but Apple computer had the mouse and the graphic interface back in the middle 8.
OS 9 or whatever.
Was it 99?
Well, before that, what did they have?
Yeah, there's little Apple computers like with this big.
Amiga was
there. Then it was Amiga.
Yeah!
There was every version of the operating system. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right, the 6 was done on the first.
Actually, I have a blue
machine. None of those little gray boxes about this big.
Classics came out in 91. They started with 6 and ended with 7.
Okay.
Someone
wanted to see a project from somebody. They had a dual booter, but they had like 100 some operating systems set up on a single computer and just like the wall.
We did something similar.
That would be very confusing for me.
Yeah. In my network design class,
says the man with 50 characters, every single one of them.
98 XP.
I don't have 50.
Two versions of Linux.
I'm doing very good.
How many browsers do you have?
I have two. Opera and Firefox.
The same browser in every operating system.
Cool. Another article was about GIMP, and somebody wrote, "In GIMP we trust." Did you read about that?
He's asking you. Oh, I got a question.
I'm not quite onto that one yet. I'm still looking at...
Picasso's?
No, I'm actually looking at operating system like trees and such, but to find out
that's an awesome
thing. You know, how they actually created and how they got merged and all that stuff. I'm not really finding too much, but anyway. Yeah, the GIMP 2.6, it's got some nice updates. Finally, they're doing other color spaces. It's just rudimentary support right now, but it's the rudimentary support that has to be there, so, you know, later on, that'll be really important. Yeah, that's about it.
You know, on the GIMP, I've got an old version of it. Works just fine, but how do you update, like, the GIMP? I mean, you do your boot? Yeah, you do your boot tool.
Save your .gimp directory in your home directory, throw everything else away, reinstall it, and then go through the stuff you have in your .gimp directory and find out what works and what doesn't work. That's basically
most of it. It's all going to work.
Most of it does. Yeah.
They're pretty good with that.
But yeah, just uninstall the old one and save your
the new one.
You don't even have to uninstall it. You could probably just go through with like Synaptic or whatever.
That's what I was wondering.
Wouldn't that be in repository?
Yeah, it's in the repository.
But it seems like it should do it on its own. It doesn't.
Well, it'll pop it up if you.
Unless it is backport.
I know.
And what else was there? There was cool, actually release notes, so whatever they had. We were talking about that FreshApp filters we're working.
Yep.
Was it actually with this release, or was it also with the older one?
I don't recall.
So it might have been a beta for, you know, a pre-release of this one.
Introduction user interface.
It might have been this one with a particular plugin as well. Like, you might have had to have this certain plugin that was a wrapper for the Photoshop plugins.
So here you have actually whatever the changes there.
I like my
under the hood
pepper brush.
Yeah, that GEGL is supposed to be the major upgrade. They're completely replacing the back-end code with this. It's kind of like its own little programming language for image manipulation. Mm-hmm. So that's supposed to allow them to then do different bit depths of color, different color spaces, CMYK, all these other color spaces and such. So, and that's been one of the big complaints from everyone, that the GIMP is just, you know, 24-bit RGB.
Mm-hmm.
Only that.
Only.
8-bit per color.
And you can write your own plugin, if you care.
Yep, I think it's Python. Okay. Simple Python.
So when it crashes, you don't actually have to, it just disappears?
Does it crash?
It just goes away.
Okay, there's two different ways you can actually write it. You can use this script foo, which is not Python, or you can write a straight-up Python program as well, in case you want it to just go away if it errors. This actually, I think, pops up an error message. So.
That was a slang of Python. I heard that.
I do have to say, that's one thing I could have added earlier. I did Jacosher. The new Jacosher release is Python, and it doesn't just go away anymore. So it's very happy.
So Python got more stable.
Oh, yeah.
It just stuck around. and they're saying what is planted, a planet. So whatever. And now all the people who are working on it.
That's all been? Huh. That's all the people that worked on it. Well, not all. The major contributors, probably.
Real photo, or has it been stitched?
It's a good-looking group, I'll have to say.
It is the GIMP, so you got to guess that it was stitched.
people all over the world.
They might just submitted their picture.
Yeah, I think so. When you look, it's a little...
It looks a little out of it.
But yeah, a little bit. But it's beautiful. What do you want? It's a GIMP, okay? What else do you want?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a GIMP.
Just a little bit. Yeah. I did a pretty good job.
Okay.
Very unbelievable thing.
There was a release, new release in Mono 2.0. And any lover of the Mono will enjoy it.
I read it. Well, I kind of looked at it.
And?
Yeah. And? Is there a lot of development for that applications in release?
There are some. Some people claim that there is a... Well, Novell is pushing it just for the purpose that you have a lot of business applications written in Visual Basic.
Yeah.
And
so just so that the people who are developing those enterprise software could more easily switch.
Migrate, yes.
There's a number of decent sized or fairly well known Linux apps that are written in Mono.
There are some, yes.
That's such a bad idea, because I mean, being such a horrible.
Well, it's not just VB. It's
not just VB.
It's a whole range of
Sharp,
C sharp. Actually, if you want programming C sharp, you have to use either the .NET framework or Mono. There's no other options.
Yes.
Because it's similar to Java. It has to have a runtime
environment. And actually, Sharp C was developed because of .NET.
Well, it was developed because of Java. Actually, here's where it came from. Microsoft made their own. Java,
they got sued.
J++. They got sued. They paid $1 billion. They got pissed at Sun.
They hired a guy.
Made their own language that was an exact copy of Java called C Sharp.
They hired a guy from.
Yeah, there's a couple of other. There's like a D language too.
D has been around for a while.
Yeah, I never really caught on.
Cool. So there's a Mono 2.0 was released. If you're asking, there is a, what is the Banshee? Is the music player written in Mono?
Tomboy.
What
no
else?
RDP is what crashed my machine.
Which one?
No RDP. It's a remote desktop client for Windows as well as BNC. SSH, but
somebody wrote Handbrake user interface.
I had a store.
Never
crashed
in Mono.
Crashed once and started tuning for RAM.
Yeah.
What do you want? That's why. That's why you have 4 gigs
RAM. This is big.
It can go for. It can go for 4 days.
Does anybody know how Mono manages the forms for a graphical interface? Would it work with GNOME and KDE? With
the
WS widgets or something? How does it manage
them? There are, there's like GTK wrappers for...
Because as I understand it, you can take a Mono application
and recompile
it and use it on
Linux. You shouldn't be able to even recompile it.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah.
It's like Java.
It actually compiles to bytecode, and then the bytecode is what runs on the environment. So that's the idea. A C-sharp, a VB, C++ program are all the same thing. Well, C++ as long as you use the manage code. And it all gets compiled with the same thing. And in Microsoft's .NET Studio, you can actually take a VB program and it will translate it to a C-sharp program right for you. And you can switch between the two.
Because the compiler is the same on the end,
right.
On the back end.
Right.
It's
just really no difference.
It's just the semantic of writing it.
And the big thing before was if you use Windows Forms in order to display anything on screen, it wouldn't be cross-compatible. Because, yes, Mono or the .NET framework is an open standard, but there's parts of it that are not. And the Windows Forms was part of that. This 2.0 version actually comes with Forms. So
that's what I noticed. I was just curious. Because that's one of the things that has always bugged me about Linux, is it's so hard to write something that will work everywhere.
Use GTK. That's really about the only...
Yeah.
GTK or like WX widgets are the only things that are going to be cross-compatible.
Wouldn't
Qt?
Qt,
DLC is GTK. That's what they switched. We're WX before.
And Qt is just recently cross-compatible with Windows. Like there was a version for that worked for Windows, and then for the longest time it didn't work again on Windows.
Oh.
Now, yeah, there's a Windows version again, but GTK has been consistently releasing Windows versions
you
that
like
work.
Pigeon is GTK.
The GIMP, Inkscape, you got all these major packages that are using GTK that Windows users are interested in. So there is some support there.
Cool. There is the Arika. Arika? Angular? I guess nobody found it funny. I better stop.
We all did.
We
just were laughing for it.
So
I thought it was referring to a smell. Arika.
So, there was some article about that. And because Adam likes Arika, so I stuck it in there.
I like using a storage state for no particular reasons. Works perfect for that.
I got some programs for you to try.
I hit the background full archive button and it just chews up gigabytes.
Oh, I can help you sort of use the space.
Yeah.
Well.
Really easy. Bring it on over.
Yeah. By the way, we are recording. Okay. No, I know those are just the ISO images.
I could write a compression algorithm for you. For has like negative percentage compression. It expands your 8 bits to maybe about 256.
Oh
yeah, it's just encrypted. There you go. Yeah, try decoding that.
There was an article about tomato firmware for. WRT54G.
You know,
GL.
Yeah, all these packages for routers are nice, but it's my router. I'm not going to touch it. It works.
Yes. But a lot of people like
to you have to have two so that you can play with one
yes.
while your other one is actually giving you the website yes. that tells you how to play with it.
Yes.
Because if you screw it up,
you are done.
You're stuck. You go over to a friend's house.
You've got to have that page loaded before you attempt this.
You've got to know what page
you need. Done it up front.
Well, and this is the thing, download new firmware in your router.
DDWRT is rock solid.
Sure.
Never having a problem with
it. What do we do that for?
Well, some people like
you it. You can buy a $70 router that does stuff that $500 routers do.
Yeah, my router, I can plug a printer right into my router and use it as a print server.
Because you have a USB port.
Because I have a USB port on the
router. So some of these router companies make the firmware or the hardware is all the same, and they just give you different packages of firmware.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty much you run a full Linux box on there, and you can do anything that Linux can do.
Sort of.
Within your 8 megs.
Don't try to reencode something.
Well, that's the problem is there's the hardware.
The hardware is obviously not the same as a PC, yeah. It's limited, so.
Because
it's
sticking in it, giving it like 4 megs mod file.
Well, no, you can do an SMB share.
Yeah.
You can send it right to a whole server. You can host websites
off your router. You can do all sorts of weird stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll do a lot.
So I know that some people like Tomato.
Tomato.
That's cool.
You are like genius.
You can host a website?
Yes.
But you have the PC in the back for more memory?
Nope.
You wouldn't necessarily.
You can plug a USB stick in and you can load the website right off the USB stick.
Wow. That's kind of neat, actually, isn't it?
This thing's coming.
They come in 16
gigs. 8
gig
right there.
16 gig.
Wow. Or the one they had some on Woot the other day for next to nothing.
Oh, you did go
to
No.
There was an article about Broadcom. Hey, a lot of music here, music there. There was that Broadcom, there is a driver for Broadcom, and Dell said that their Dell wireless cards, which are Broadcom cards, they work. Tell me.
Now, the one thing about that, though, they're not truly open source, and they never will release them as true open source because they can't get their FCC, whatever it's called, verification or whatever, with an open source driver because they have to put some limits on the hardware, power and such, so they can never open source it legally and still have it be FCC compliant.
Well, if you own one of those cards, you're just a very happy person.
That's actually
big market. Okay. I've tried that one. I have Broadcom. The open one is crap. It just does not work. I mean, I get a connection, and I get maybe, a throughput of 1 megabit, maybe.
Yeah.
This one killed Linux on my wife's laptop. I gave up.
Yeah. I blacklisted the free one, put on NDIS wrapper, haven't had any problems since.
And this one actually hits the biggest range of the Broadcom drivers now, which could be quite interesting.
We'll see. I'll have to try it out again and see if it got any better, but I don't know. Based on 4...
This one right here covers roughly 65-70% of Broadcom's wireless chipsets, of the ones in market. They're the ones that were popular in common public market.
So that's actually good news,
Right. Yeah, and we already have decent drivers on their newer M. Pretty much everything they have in an M chipset has a similar Linux driver to what they just released. So.
Cool. What else? We have some applications. We did talk about Amahi.
Tell us about Amahi.
I haven't started the virtual machine anymore.
Oh, okay. VMware Server 2 was released a few weeks ago, so there's an actual link to download. We're talking about Alice. That was that thing.
Did anyone figure out what's in VMware that it's 600 megabytes? Anyone?
Snooping software. But it works.
Because there is somebody at work that they were trying to get VMware installed and working, and it was getting to be a hassle. They're not really a Linux person.
Yep.
Linux actually wiped out their Windows partition.
That's how it's supposed to be.
I know. The Linux partition gained smarts for a little bit there and wiped it out. But so he installed Ubuntu, and he was trying to get VMware working, having problems. And I told him, download VirtualBox. He said, yeah, I downloaded 20 megabyte file versus 600,
yep,
and it just worked.
Oh, so VirtualBox is, you think, it's a better program right now?
It's a lot easier to use.
Simply virtualizing the effort.
It depends what you want to use it for.
This guy wasn't an idiot either. I mean, he knew what he was doing, and he was having problems with VMware, where VirtualBox, he just...
Is he running it on Linux?
Yeah. So, I don't know...
Well, that's what you've got running, right?
Yeah, that's what I use. I don't know. Until somebody can tell me what the other, 570 megabytes is for, I'm not going to download it.
I'll find out right now.
Okay.
You know, I think somebody actually wrote the implosion algorithm.
Oh, that compression algorithm that I was talking about.
Oh, you call it compression.
It's just not very efficient.
That's an immense difference in size.
Yeah. And they have all the same features, so it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, 60 megs is the Java runtime.
Can't VMware do a lot more advanced things?
Tomcat's taken up 100 megs of time.
Is it?
It's got built-in.
It's only 5 megs.
VNC.
Whatever they've got in their Tomcat, so they've lost 100 megabytes.
What's a Tomcat?
It's a web app.
So there's actually... VMware actually has a lot of tweaks you can do. They just don't release what you can do with them. Like, if you go online, there's a guy who's got a list of all these commands that you can do. And he's got like 1,000 of them. And VMware just will not acknowledge that they exist to prove that they work on anything. There's a lot of errors. So VMware is an operating system, not a piece of software, you're saying.
Essentially, they've got a Linux ISO image that's 190 meg. So I don't know what exactly that is, but...
Well, that's useful.
It's in the install directory. A Solaris ISO that's 8 meg. NetWare ISO is about small.
Well, it's a software house. So they are writing code.
Pay direct code, yeah.
I think it's a pre-configured environment set up, so they've got a lot
of... Is that the development ISO?
It might be, I don't know. There's a... I don't use it for nearly any of what it can do, so a lot of the stuff I'm going to pull it down, I'm just going to catch up this space.
Is that Solaris?
No, that's VMware.
Oh.
They're trying to figure out why VMware is...
I'm sure it's corporate-y features that, 2% of the users
use.
That they could have had in a separate package.
Yeah, but those 2% probably drive 90% of their business.
Yeah. I'll stick with VirtualBox.
VirtualBox.
Seamless mode VirtualBox.
Yep.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's free tool for
VirtualBox. It's clear, and all you see is just the touch bar on it. I use it at work, so...
Integration
for
workstations.
Yeah.
Put some windows on the bottom and
Linux
on
the
top.
Cool. We had the application for Zoho. Did we talk about it last week? It was
we mentioned it.
I don't know if we talked about it. It's actually applications there like Google spreadsheet and Writer and whatever it is. And this is coming from our friends from India, so it might work, but think always where your data is.
It's a web-based?
It is web-based.
Deal then, okay.
Yes. It's always, whatever the services you are using, think about what kind of data you are putting there, and if you really care, if you lose the data or if somebody was snooping about that. So I would advise not to put your tax returns there.
Always running through a compression algorithm.
Implosion, yes.
An inefficient compression algorithm.
Inefficient, yes.
It's kind of funny, one of these you could almost take and reinvent yourself and see, if you start getting mail You know what I mean? It doesn't have, you know, that you...
See, that's dangerous.
I do that regularly. We use, you know, we put crazy things on calendars and stuff like that, and we get a whole bunch of, you know, junk mail in Chinese and Sanskrit. And
yeah, exactly, you know. Right.
That's dangerous, though. I did that once. I had an alternate. Like, you know, when I sign up for mail lists, I do Eric Rush.
Yeah, it's not recording.
I know. I do Eric Rush.
Okay.
Well, I got a selective services thing for Eric Rush. And me. I'm a little confused. I'm like, okay, I've got... what am I supposed to do with two of these? So the government apparently just mines data, too. And, well, I don't know. Just got to want to
bought it from someone.
Well,
I think I heard something about that, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that they were mining data to send those notices out because people were...
Well, this is more than 4 or 5 years ago.
But didn't you watch the movie Hair? It was about the Vietnam War, and they were getting... Yeah, so you're supposed to do the same thing what he did. He got
Isn't that a musical?
Yeah, it is musical.
Okay.
They went to
Central Park. It's a musical, not a movie.
Yeah, I saw it in Central Park. Okay.
They went to Central Park and they
did it. It's a musical with it. They made a movie.
He's a genius across the Atlantic Sea.
Yeah. I like that movie.
That musical, you mean?
Hi. How are you doing?
We'll be with music in.
There was some article about booting limit Linux in 5 seconds. There was something about it.
That looked pretty cool, actually. Yeah. I'd like to set up, I don't know, something I could boot up. And I know it's a triple EPC, but it'd be cool to try and do something that booted up in maybe 10 seconds.
Which, when we talk about it, there was another article, and it was something... Monte Vista, and it was about Dell.
That's the Linux on RAM.
Yeah. So I wonder if is it the same thing what they are talking about?
No, they're two.
Okay.
Okay.
I think they got rid of init
Well, Upstart is supposed to get rid of init. And
that might have used Upstart. I think I removed it because I did look
better. Because Ubuntu started to do Upstart, and then it got quite popular. So they were rewriting it because it doesn't use init sequence.
It does use Upstart.
Yeah. So
if they pair that with that new Intel drive, they could probably boot that in about a second and a half.
You mean solid state?
Yeah, the 250 megabyte a second solid state drive that it tells us.
What do we need it for?
They also use a package called sreadahead, which it doesn't, when it's reading files, it doesn't read the whole file, it only reads a portion of the file that it actually needs.
That's way too geeky.
That's the 5 second Ubuntu?
I wonder how difficult this setup would actually
be. They've been working on this for a long time. I remember a couple of years ago, there was this program you could run at startup and it would graphically show you what was working, you know, when your CD was going, when you were getting, okay, they've got a version of it right there. You know, and they've been doing the same thing. Windows used to have it, though. Can't find anything about that anymore.
It's not important anymore. It's not a buzzword. Have you guys seen anything about, like, do they have anything for trying to do this on your own? Like what they did more in depth than just the basic packages that they used?
I haven't looked into it that much.
No.
I never shut it off, so. Just put it in sleep mode and sits there for like 3 or 4 days. And as long as I get the cord in it before I open it back up, it's fine.
I'm always running in sleep mode.
I thought there was a problem with Linux in sleep. Like it just.
I mine don't work.
Your sleep doesn't work?
I don't actually go to sleep. Hibernate. It actually goes into like a suspend. What type of sleep does it actually do? Does it do? Because like Vista, they got rid of their suspend mode. They went to sleep, and their sleep is a combined like hibernate and suspend. It writes to hard drive and it keeps the memory active. So that way, if you lose your lose power, you can still just power it on. It'll be right back where you left. Whereas standby mode is dangerous because if you lose power, you've just lost everything you were working on. The bad thing about Bat 2, though, Hibernate is slow, especially when you have a lot of RAM.
But see, that's why it does both. It keeps your memory active,
right,
and it does
but when
hibernate.
You close the lid, it takes it 5 minutes to hibernate. Like, this thing takes probably 5 or 6 minutes to hibernate and to come out of hibernate.
But what would you rather have take up time shutting it,
boot it back up,
shutting it down when you're walking away, or when you open it up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
So who cares how long it takes to write down to memory? I'm not sitting there, I'm not shutting my laptop and going,
okay.
Well,
the light's still on.
Does it write a 1 or 2 gigs to the hard drive?
Yes,
is that what it does?
Yes, it has to write all RAM to the hard drive.
And then
and all the interstates to all the hardware to the hard drive so that it can restore them when it starts back up.
So how long does it take to write 2 gig?
Or whatever you got. It doesn't take a long time, but I mean, it only does like 75 meg a second or so. That's about the max speed you're going to get out of the hard drive. So
it takes a while, then.
13, it takes a while, yeah.
13 seconds a gig.
Yep.
Give or take. Well, okay.
Yep.
But, see, that's why, you know, if you do a hybrid of the two, where you're doing the stand, you know, you're doing your straight hibernate and a standby mode,
and
you get the redundancy of hibernate.
Yes.
So if you lose power, your data's still safe, but if not, you get right back into it.
You know, I don't think it'd be that hard to even set that up in Linux. I mean, you could probably just mess with your init scripts and power scripts.
Great. That's some fact I learned at the dark side.
Yeah, it's something that they're spouting. Oh, this is such a great new feature in Linux. You can switch around 3 lines in a script and it's done.
Perhaps. We don't
have.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
But it'll take 10 years for somebody to build a plumber.
It'll take
ten years
for somebody to write the 3 lines of script that actually do it. But you could do it in 3 lines of script.
Oh no, that script will be out.
Is that going to be in Perl?
No, it'll be a shell script,
and nobody can read it then.
I think it should use regex.
Yeah,
someplace.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Well, of course.
For sure, nobody can read that.
It's going to take 3 lines. I can do a web server in 1.
Yeah, let's move on. We are getting into beta area.
Old news.
Okay.
9.6 is out. I downloaded it at the beginning of the movie. Or at the beginning of the movie. Yeah, the movie.
Good movie?
It's been a good movie. I don't know.
It's not over yet.
I'll tell you how it ends later.
Okay.
No, I downloaded it at the beginning of the meeting, actually.
Just some stuff worthwhile in it?
Beta recovery.
Apparently you downloaded it at the beginning of the movie, too.
Yeah, I did.
Movie, yeah.
It was a musical first.
That's right. The musical.
You guys are just some joke.
Based on the poem.
Can we move on? Are we done?
You can, I won't.
I don't know.
Ubuntu beta was released, and Fedora 10 beta was released. So there are 2 articles. If somebody is so adventurous...
Pretty icons.
It doesn't look like there was a whole lot new in Fedora that was really all that interesting.
I tried both of those on one of my desktops. It didn't work.
Didn't work?
Fedora probably
did. No, actually, that's the one that the installer was so messed up on, you couldn't do anything. The buttons were about that big.
Yeah, Fedora, you
kind of... They were overlapping, and... It just didn't work.
You kind of got to read whether that version is good or not. Like, 5 was a good version, then 8 was a good version, so by that, 11 should be the next good version.
Star
Trek movie theory.
Developers for developers.
I tried the Ubuntu 8.10 beta on a HDMI screen at 1920x1200, and it recognized the resolution. And everything looked fine, but the actual windows that it was putting on there were beyond the 1920x1200, which is just amazing.
Well, you know, you get 2 for price of 1.
Just hold it all fine.
You can go up into the upper left-hand corner and resize them down and drag them back up, and it would work. You'd get through it, but
I wonder
you couldn't do it in Fedora. Fedora wouldn't let you pass. Because everything was so good. The buttons were just gigantic and stuff. And the text was...
They like
faulty on the buttons, everything.
You know, maybe those developers actually over.
To go with the BAC.
Yeah. Huh?
You need a big ad.
The BAs and BACs. We go together. Like hand and glove.
The trash can. BA. Is that the other one?
BAT.
Calendar.
Big ass trash.
I got rid of my calendar, actually. I got sick of seeing the date. I just have a big clock, humongous trash can.
That takes like 30% CPU, right?
That was like 15 or 20.
Okay, 15, yeah.
Good man, Charlie.
There's a surprise article, huh?
Archie, we talked about it two weeks ago. But the real network is saying that there was a precedence in court, and it was about I think the name of the company was Kaleidoscope, and they won a court. That's what it is.
Sure. Well, there's another interesting thing there. There was that that file downloading case in Minnesota, where they were
in Duluth.
Nah, it's up on somewhere up in that area. But the judge came back and he said he made an error because they literally said that the music industry did not have to prove damages, and somehow they magically came up with this $22,000 that this lady had cost the music industry.
$200,000?
No, it was 22. Well, anyway, but now the judge came back and threw the case out, or said it was going to be a mistrial, it was going to have to be done over because it is the responsibility of the industry, the RAIA or whatever the hell it is, to show that the person who gave the song away on the internet did cause damage, and how much damage did they cause?
I think it was actually that they had to have proof that someone downloaded the songs from her computer that infringed it.
Right.
No, that was the original case, but now in order for the industry to get money out of the people, they have to show a real damage that the per people caused.
The two might be kind of related.
I'm pretty sure they said that they would not be able to prove individual accounts of download.
Right.
And this was just news like a week ago, I read.
Because they were only providing it. There's no, they didn't have any way of tracking who actually downloaded it. So based on that, they can't actually prove any lost sales because they don't know how many people downloaded it. It could have been zero. It could have been 1,000.
Right. That was why the judge said he decided the case needed to be retried because he originally told the jury that it was not the responsibility of the RAIA to prove how much they were damaged. And now he came back and he said it is the responsibility of the RAIA to show that they were damaged and how much were they damaged by this person, which makes more sense. I mean, how do you just randomly come up with a number out of the sky?
How much does the lawyer want? Add this much percent.
No. It's got to be a real.
There's the number.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's probably about how they did do it. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. To me, that's interesting because I may download something, but I would never buy it. So is that a lost sale? Because I would never buy it.
No.
Let's say I download. I don't know what people listen to nowadays.
Yeah, let's say
I downloaded something. Well, I may never buy it. So is it a lost sale? No. They'll have to prove that it is.
That's exactly right.
So,
right, it's like listening to a song on the radio. Just because you hear it on the radio, you're not going to run and buy it.
Yeah.
In fact, there's probably a good chance you're not going to buy it because you didn't like it.
Exactly. And actually, it works the other way, too. If you download that song and you like it,
you might
it
go
also
buy it.
Raises the chance that you might go and buy their CD.
Right.
You know? They don't look at it that way.
I know.
I preview songs on the... If I can preview songs on the internet, there's a lot of different CDs that I wouldn't own right now.
Yeah, but you can't hear stuff on the radio.
I do it. Yeah. Legally, I go through Last FM and I look through.
30 seconds doesn't get you what a song is all about.
Well, no, like, yeah. On Last FM, it gives you an idea. It gives you the entire song for a couple of these albums. Yes. Like, seriously, here's my list of bands to go look at based on Last FM. And I have never heard any of these on the radio. And I never would have heard any of these on the radio.
You will never probably hear about them on the radio.
I never will hear about them on the radio, but.
Well, because they don't have some young chick, good-looking chick out in front to make a video.
One does.
Maybe one does. Does Tron know
about that?
She's
actually
on the
song. What's that?
You know, pay the radio station to play some song. See, a radio station,
say Byron.
Radio station have to pay
See, like my place, I suppose you have to pay EMI and all the RA. If I want to pay
what was it?
Radio station. But the artist who know by themselves enough, they pay the radio station to play the song over and over again.
I don't think they pay them, but they charge them less to play certain
songs. Remember
the
cynics?
In some cases, they're paying.
I don't actually have that on the list.
I set up a MySpace page.
So what did it say about that real DVD thing? Just that now they're in court, valid.
They're in court, and real network is saying there's a precedent. And that they have good chance to win it again.
That's got
well, it's just a, don't you think it's just a stall tactic in the way that they're trying to bankrupt these little companies?
It is. It is.
Because the REI still has a lot of money, but I think you would think they'd be run. The CD sales, I think, dropped 20% last year.
Yeah, but
17 or something. I mean, huge number.
There's
some people that sell online directly. I set it up for one of my clients. He used MySpace as a tool where you can preview songs. If the artist lets you, you can download certain songs for free. And there's a tool, I don't remember what the name is, I have to look at it. They're selling it for you too. So you can buy it directly, and they collect your money, which was MySpace. So, and that was much easier to set up than anything to iTunes. I can tell you this, it was much less complicated. Uploading, it was all there. It was like a whole player, you just put the code in, and it's right there on your MySpace page, and it's all linked, and it's all pretty simple.
Just about everybody's getting rid of DRM now. No DRM. Yeah, or Walmart cut out DRM.
Yep.
Well, that's what this is about, right?
You have a.
This isn't about DRM.
Well, yeah, Walmart.
Well, sort of about DRM. It is about DRM that.
I thought it's in their DRM stuff.
Well, they are selling DRM, and if they shut down the iTunes, there is no service to authenticate your DRM. So, guess what?
So, you're screwed.
Yeah, screwed. You like it or not.
So many people, they would lose so much. Of their reputation.
Well, let's look at all the ones that have already shut down there.
Apple's already.
Microsoft did, Yahoo did, and Walmart did.
Yes.
But how does this DRM work? You log onto the internet to validate?
No,
the player, to be DRM enabled, it has to validate against the DRM server.
You might have a timestamp that that music is valid.
So like in these iPod players, when you download iTunes, they're only good for a
little
bit. They're good forever, but you have to be authorized through the DRM server.
How often?
To allow you.
No, this is what you need to do. You need to take the song, you need to burn it to a CD, and then you need to rip it.
Yep, that's a
to an MP3.
And then you are done.
Okay.
However, you lose a lot of
Yes, you lose a lot of quality.
How do you know if your music is DRM?
It depends where you bought it from.
And the file extension.
If it's a regular MP3, it's not DRM.
What will the extension be for DRM?
DRM has the, can have DRM. Windows Media Volume.
What is AAC or ACC?
AAC has DRM.
Various depending on what type of DRM it is.
But you can have AAC or WMBN. It's not DRM.
Right. You can't necessarily tell just by the extension. Yes. By the extension.
But certain ones are able to carry DRM.
You're putting on your brother's computer, and if it plays there, it's okay.
Okay.
If you don't have a brother,
they pretty much lock it to your computer.
Yeah, the player pretty much calls home before it'll play it.
Yes.
Make sure that it's on the same computer.
So it's kind of in,
I don't know how
it's in a special format.
How does your player call home?
Yeah.
Over the internet.
How about it limits copy?
Those little iTunes things are.
For those you actually can't even copy to the device unless you have permission. To actually copy it.
But then once it's copied to the device, is it accessible always?
It's accessible on the device, on I believe. But you can't copy it off because you have to use their software to copy it off.
Some of these things, you have to plug the device into the computer routinely to reauthorize your stuff because it expires after.
Play for sure. Well, then you need to buy about a music player, so there's another certain.
They never got the whole plan to. And I mean, I know that they did start doing some. With some type of encryption module that would enable hardware-based DRM. But I mean, that would be so horrible.
For Pat, see, Pat would drive this, like from our standpoint, at Walmart. everybody can steal it so easy. I mean, the way we have to handle stupid iPods now and all the MP3 players, because as soon as it's out of the box, you don't know even more if you walk in with it or walk out with it or where it is.
I'm sure you can track it by the way.
Well, let's see, but the newest idea that what Walmart and other retailers mean, your rechargeable device is individually coded to your particular device. So if I steal your iPod, I cannot use like my same plug-in to be able to recharge plug-in. That's the new power that
That's the same situation. Cool. That's not going to...
But see, that's the pressure they put on because they're so easy to steal. Because how they know you just walk, you replace your 2 meg with your 5 meg in the store.
That's great. That's great. That's Walmart's problem, not the consumer's problem. So stop making it the consumer's problem.
No, but that's the problem. Wow. Well, that's
it's
the whole problem. The problem, though, is that instead of you know, going after the thieves, they're accusing everyone.
See, yeah,
that
everybody is the problem is iPod is not going to do anything about it. iPod has no interest doing anything about it. And Walmart,
they should assume that everyone's a thief.
So what is
thief.
This? Yeah, is this Apple's, or I mean, is this Walmart's proprietary?
Well, it's not just, I mean, just Apple and Walmart, that's one issue. Walmart brings it up, but it's for everybody in the retail, it's an issue. And it becomes the biggest problem becomes an issue because in the previous way, if you stole something in stores, it was usually not a big dollar amount, but because I bought it, it's like $400, $500 a unit. Now it's a criminal offense because of the dollar amount.
Look
it's
at that.
Just from a legal standpoint, you reach all these kids reaching a totally different level than before. You walk in and stole a piece of candy and something was $10 worth, now you stole $500 a unit, you legally become a totally different bold. That's
part of
the problem.
Yeah.
Then you get caught.
Well, let's move on.
Build more jails.
Let's
more jails.
Let's move on. Let's drink more coffee and move on.
Yes.
All of our rivers should be lined with jails.
Send them to Soviet Russia.
We got more people in jail than they do.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, we're already there.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, move on.
Poetic boxing is here. Did you watch debate?
No.
That's what fired you up?
No.
Okay, so let's move on.
Come on, how could this be fire you up?
Let's move on. Last week we talked about Apple doesn't require NDA for their SDK.
Well, of course not. If they don't like what you made, they just won't let you have it.
They will just not publish it. Exactly. Because you have to actually buy it through their store. So
so fun.
Yeah,
and you have to submit it to them
yes.
to get it in there
for approval. Yes, because otherwise you can.
But now they don't have the NDA on their, nope, we're not gonna put it on the store. So what they'll do is they just won't put any information on that, and then it doesn't matter that you didn't sign an NDA or anything because there's no information there.
Apple is good. Let's move on.
Yeah.
There were a few how-tos convert. Flash video to DVD ISO in Ubuntu. I'm not really sure why would you do that because you probably don't have very high quality Flash movie. Unless those new movies, which they are coming.
Hulu is actually pretty high quality.
Yeah, which they are coming 720. 720p.
You don't even need 720p for a DVD.
Yeah,
DVD is only 480i.
Yeah. So here's the how-to, how you would do that. Install Xbox Media Center on Ubuntu. I think it's Xbox Media Center. It's its own independent project. And then shell script to backup your database. This is really long. So you can actually, there's how to backup your database, MySQL, with everything, data, tables, pretty much do the data
down. You think you could have wrapped that link a few more lines?
I wanted to. But I hit only paste only once.
Yeah. Okay.
And then data recovery with a test disk.
That was that
we
one
talked about
the Windows, right?
We talked
recover Windows partitions. Or?
We talked about it last week. That's why Adam cannot talk right now because you would disclose.
He's not listening to you.
I know.
The test disk.
So, and that would be about it for a newsletter. This week. So right now we can talk about political debate.
Soviet Russia, yeah.
Okay, so I think this is. Okay, don't ever say that again. I think this is about end of the recording. So thank you for listening, and see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HBR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.